It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
First stop, Albany. Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. Legislative Day is underway at the New York State Capitol. For the first time in about 3 years, Christian activists are able to gather in Albany to raise awareness about pro-life and pro-family causes. Family Life's Greg Gillespie gets us started.
Activists from across the Empire State have gathered to hear how to be involved in their communities, in their state, and in their nation with the cultural influence that comes from faith and their values. Legislative Day continues through the afternoon and will include a visit to the state capitol, hoping to give some face-to-face time with legislators this afternoon. Reporting from Legislative Day 2023 at the Empire State Convention Center, I'm Greg Gillespie, Family Life News.
All right, Greg, we'll check back with you in just a bit. Meantime, in Washington, debt ceiling talks are going down to the wire. There's still no deal to increase the borrowing limit on Uncle Sam's credit card. The White House and House Speaker McCarthy remain at odds over spending. Correspondent Kristen Welker has the latest on the wheeling and dealing.
The two sides have found some common ground, agreeing to recoup unspent COVID funds, which could save an estimated $30 billion. But key sticking points remain. Republicans are calling for deep spending cuts, which Democrats oppose, saying it could hurt programs like health care and education. Republicans also want new work requirements for food and housing assistance.
If a deal's not done by the 1st of June, the U.S. could default on its debt, and that could trigger a recession. Security scare near the White House last night. Police say a man crashed a U-Haul into a barrier at Lafayette Square, and he did it on purpose. He's facing serious charges. Reporter Ryan Nobles.
Charges associated with the incident include assault with a dangerous weapon, reckless driving, and threatening to kill, kidnap, or inflict harm on a president, vice president, or family member.
Lafayette Square is just a block away from the White House. Police removed a flag with a swastika from the scene. Police also say the president nor his family were in any danger. Call him Candidate Scott from now on. South Carolina Senator Tim Scott is the newest Republican candidate for president. He jumped into the race yesterday.
I'm announcing today that I'm running for president of the United States of America.
Scott hosting a raucous rally in Charleston. We get more in this report from Tommy Yamas.
Senator Tim Scott is ready to do something radical in modern politics. Stay positive.
What people really want is an optimistic conservative who has a backbone, but also believes that the best is yet to come.
Poll numbers show he is a long shot candidate, but he has the money to stay competitive. And now apparently the blessing of former President Trump, who knows as the field grows, so do his prospects, because he keeps his base and those other votes get fractured.
Trump posted praise for Scott yesterday while taking a shot at Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who is also expected to jump into the race. Now, if Senator Scott wins the election next year, he will join a very rare club, the Bachelor's Club. James Buchanan, America's 15th president, was the only president who never married. If Scott wins, the still single Tim Scott will join that list. We should mention Grover Cleveland was a bachelor until he became president. He got married while in office. Now to Idaho, where prosecutors have 2 months to decide whether they'll seek the death penalty against 28-year-old Brian Koberger. He's the man accused in the stabbing deaths of 4 college students. Correspondent Lilia Luciano speaks with the dad of one of the victims.
As a dad, you want to just do it yourself, take care of it, but you can't. You know, the whole world deserves the process.
Kaylee Gonzalez's father, Steve, said it's hard to be patient as the proceedings drag on and transparency lags.
When do we stop with hiding all these things? Let's get the process going. I mean, there's nothing more painful to the family than just to sit around doing nothing.
A not guilty verdict was entered on behalf of Koberger yesterday. His trial is not expected to start until October. For the first time in franchise history, the Denver Nuggets are in the NBA Finals. They swept the LA Lakers out of the playoffs last night. 38-year-old LeBron James had 40 points in a losing effort and hinted afterward he may be leaning toward retirement.
I don't get a kick out of making a conference appearance. I've done it a lot, and it's not fun to me to not be able to be a part of getting to the finals. Going forward with the game of basketball, got a lot to think about.
Meantime, the Boston Celtics look to avoid being swept themselves in the Eastern Conference Finals. Game 4 of that series is tonight, with the Miami Heat up 3-0. Still to come on the Noon Report, counties sue over migrant crisis. Governor Hochul sees a silver lining with the asylum seekers and reinventing shopping malls. It's a new look for the Oakdale Mall in Johnson City.
Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Williams. It's a fine day today. Tomorrow, though, a little bit of a change. I'll have forecast details up in 10.
All right, we'll see you then. Thanks, Kevin. News where you live next. Illegal immigrants could soon be coming to Western New York. That story from Family Life's Dee Haley.
The influx of migrants arriving in New York City could soon be heading to Buffalo and Erie County. A spokesperson for New York Mayor Eric Adams said that the mayor's office has reached out to County Executive Mark Poloncarz to coordinate a plan for migrants to arrive as soon as details are finalized. According to Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown, that message has not been conveyed to him. Brown added he has had no communication with New York City Mayor Adams' office, and he does not know of any plans for migrants to come to Buffalo. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
All right, Dee. Onondaga County, meantime, has filed a lawsuit in an attempt to stop migrants from being bused there from the Big Apple. In the Syracuse suburb of Salina, asylum seekers could be housed at a hotel near the airport. Town Supervisor Nick Perro trying to stop that from happening.
This is not something that's just happening on the south of the border. It's not just happening in our large cities anymore. It's spreading to communities all across America, and really we need leadership on this at the highest level.
County Executive Ryan McMahon has updated an emergency order that allows sheriff's deputies to pull over vehicles with illegal immigrants. Meantime, New York's Governor Kathy Hochul requesting the federal government waive a 180-day waiting period for migrants to work. She says it doesn't make sense. They're not allowed to work.
They're eager to work. They want to work. They came here in search of work, and they can become part of our economy and part of our communities.
The governor says thousands of farm, food service, and cleaning jobs are needed filled right now, and the migrant influx could alleviate the labor shortage problem. A week after voters shot down a more than $50 million school budget, Cortland, New York will be hosting an emergency school board meeting today. Happens from 4:30 to 5:30 at the district offices. The Cortland district warns it may have to eliminate 17 teaching and staff positions if a slimmed-down budget fails on June the 30th. That's when voters will decide it again. Now, the initial spending plan called for an almost 10% increase in school property taxes. The Pennsylvania Senate Education Committee is looking for legislative solutions to the ongoing teacher shortage problem. Committee Chair David Argel hopes to craft a bipartisan bill that would encourage more qualified people to pursue careers in education. Lawmakers are floating the Grow Your Own initiative, which would help recruit local community members to become teachers where they live. Upstate New York's two largest cities are holding exams for those interested in law enforcement careers. The Buffalo police exam is June 17th. The one for Rochester is September 9th. In the city of Rochester, there are now more than 65 police vacancies needing filled. Interested applicants must be between the ages of 19 and 35, have a valid driver's license and high school diploma or a GED. The Pennsylvania House passed gun control measures Monday. The package of bills include universal background checks, safe storage requirements, and a red flag law to keep guns out of the hands of dangerous people. Advocates say these reforms are long overdue.
When I was 13, I lost my dad to gun suicide.
It's time for our lawmakers to step up and vote for our safety.
Gun gun reform activists say responsible firearm owners have nothing to fear from this legislation. Northern Tier Representative Clint Owlett disagrees.
I think this is just a continued look to roll back Second Amendment rights, and those are concerns that my constituents have, and they've reached out and made their voices loud and clear on this issue.
Owlett says gun violence is a complicated issue, and it deserves more than just a knee-jerk reaction.
I think we need to look at the symptom of what it is, and it's mental health, it's anger issues, it's issues at home, it's issues in the family.
The Democrat-led gun reforms face an uncertain future in the GOP-controlled Pennsylvania Senate. 80 years after his plane went down, a World War II pilot from North Central Pennsylvania has been accounted for. James Litherland of Williamsport was just 25 years old when the aircraft he was co-piloting went down February 28, 1944 in France. It took nearly 5 years for forensic investigators to positively ID Litherland's remains. Just because people get older doesn't mean they can't have fun. Well, unfortunately, New York and Pennsylvania are not among the most fun states for seniors. The online site Seniorly, which is dedicated to helping the elderly enjoy themselves, ranked all 50 states on things like the weather and cost of living. And New York State came in 33rd this year. Pennsylvania, not much better. It was 27th. Florida ranked the most fun state for seniors. A Johnson City, New York shopping mall that was about to close has a new lease on life. Developer Mark Newman has big plans for the old Oakdale Mall, which is now the Oakdale Commons.
It's really rewarding, and it's come together so nice, and I'm just, you know, on a personal level, I'm so happy. I know I speak on behalf of the partnership, and we're all just really excited.
The Oakdale Commons will feature the world's largest Dick's House of Sport, BJ's Wholesale, and Dave & Buster's.
This will truly be a mixed-use project, so a lot of services, a lot of entertainment, and then the retail itself, and of course the restaurants. You know, it's all sort of baked into the cake, but I believe it'll be successful.
Newman hopes the reinvented shopping mall will spark an economic revival in the Binghamton area.
The vision is here and it's happening, and we're really excited. Not only for ourselves, but I have to really emphasize for the community. This was one of those projects, whether we were involved or not, we did not want this to die.
The mixed-use shopping mall, says Newman, is a blueprint for the future.
This just makes a lot of sense because the traditional malls are gone forever. So this is certainly a hybrid, and I think it's something that a lot of people around the country are going to look at and say, hey, this is the wave of the future.
Newman tells Spectrum News what's happening in Johnson City right now will cause communities all across the country to reimagine shopping malls. The Buffalo Bills are playing across the pond in London, England this fall, and AAA's come up with a travel package so fans can see the game in person. The Bills will take on Jacksonville Sunday, October 8th. That travel package is from the 5th through the 10th and includes flights, a hotel stay, sightseeing activities, as well as tickets to the game. That travel package will cost you anywhere from $4,000 to about $4,700. Let's talk sports next on the Family Life Noon Report.
Good afternoon, I'm Randy Snedley. Bob, the Denver Nuggets, for the first time ever, are into the NBA Championship Finals. They swept the Los Angeles Lakers in L.A. Denver down 15 at the half, but Nikola Jokic led the Nuggets back with an NBA record 8th triple-double in the postseason. Jokic scored 30, grabbed 14 rebounds, and he dished out 13 assists to lead Denver to the 4-0 sweep. LeBron James finished with 40 points, but he twice missed shots in the final seconds that would have tied the game. His second shot actually blocked at the buzzer. 113-111, your final. On the ice, the Florida Panthers are knocking on the door of the Stanley Cup Finals. They shut out Carolina 1-0 to take a 3-0 lead in their series. Sam Reinhart scored the game's only goal on a power play midway through the second period, and it held up. To baseball. The Pirates are back in first place in the National League Central, tied with Milwaukee. The Buccos got a granny from Tucapita Marcano in their 5-run seventh inning, and they beat Texas 6-4. Other interleague action saw the Giants down the Twins 4-1, and Houston pounded Milwaukee 12-2. In the National League, Zach Wheeler gave up 4 runs over 6 innings and took the loss as the Phillies fell to the D-backs 6-3. The Reds cooled off the Cardinals in 10, 6-5. Dodgers down the Braves 8-6, and the Rockies 5-3 winners over Miami. The Tampa Bay Rays keep on winning, this time 6-4 over the Blue Jays. Tampa Bay 22-4 at home. Detroit outlasted KC 8-5 and 10. The Angels edge Boston 2-1. Guardians shut out the White Sox 3-0, and Seattle beat up Oakland 11-2. That is a look at sports.
Thank you, Randy. Man, still to come on this Tuesday edition of the Noon Report. Christians converge on the New York State Capitol. We'll have a live report with Greg Gillespie in Albany. Fixing homes and changing hearts. It's the subject of today's Hometown Hero. And at the end of the broadcast, a lesson on kindness from the late, great Fred Rogers.
Welcome to Breakpoint, daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. In his 1929 book, The Thing, G.K. Chesterton warned social reformers to be cautious about changing institutions, laws, or customs. Quote, let us say, for the sake of simplicity, a fence or a gate is erected across a road. The more modern type of reformer goes gaily up to it and says, I don't see the use of this. Let's clear it away. To which the more intelligent type of reformer will do well to answer, well, if you don't see the use of it, I certainly won't let you clear it away. Now, Chesterton was illustrating here the often subtle importance of things that moderns seem so eager to deconstruct and tear down. Before setting aside long-standing traditions, we should first understand them, why previous generations were committed to them. Otherwise, even our most well-meaning reforms can incur serious consequences, not all of which are immediately obvious to us, but which will fall on future generations. Chesterton's analogy recently came to mind when I was reading an essay by Louise Perry at The Spectator. It was entitled, Modernity is Making You Sterile. Perry is a maverick feminist and the author of a book called The Case Against the Sexual Revolution. She argues that the so-called progress narrative so cherished among the elites of the developed world, along with those technologies that enable it, are keeping us from having babies. Like a slow-acting poison, modernity and its values have eaten away at the fabric of our society, though imperceptibly to those focused only on the present. This, she writes, is the real reason that most of the developed world is currently running out of people. Quote, what we are now discovering is that, at the population level, modernity selects systematically against itself. The key features of modernity, urbanism, affluence, secularism, the blurring of gender distinctions, and more time spent with strangers than with kin, all of these factors in combination shred fertility, which means that progressivism, the political ideology that urges on the acceleration of modernization, can be best understood as a sterility meme, end quote. In other words, if a society places a low value on children pretty soon, there's not going to be enough of them. Or as a friend of mine likes to say, it's not magic, it's math. Only 3% of the world's population currently lives in a country whose birth rate is not declining. According to a 2020 BBC report, Italy, Spain, Portugal, Thailand, and South Korea will all lose half their populations by the end of the century. Within 75 years, virtually every single country on Earth will have a shrinking population. Countries in the West will be among the first and the fastest to decline. So why is almost no one talking about this slow-motion crisis? Well, according to Perry, it's the urbanism, the affluence, the secularism, and the blurring of gender distinctions collectively embraced by moderns that blind us to these things. Committed as we are to maximizing individual freedom and immediate happiness, the West has learned to ignore the subtle usefulness of family, fertility, and gender roles, and to assume that anyone who once practiced these things were all bad and stupid. The results of our beliefs and our actions and our inaction include a seemingly unstoppable drop in birth rates, and in Perry's words, the eventual, quote, end of our way of life, end quote. Perry rightly concludes that an overhaul of modernity is overdue. This will involve asking better questions and at the very least reprioritizing motherhood. We have to consider why traditional values were valued in the first place in light of the future, not just the present. It's encouraging to see a voice outside of conservative Christian circles saying that children are blessings and that healthy societies are societies that welcome children. Our increasingly sterile way of life is a sign of sickness at the heart of modernity. Unless we can learn to see the value of past traditions for our future, we're not going to have one. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Shane Morris. For more resources to live like a Christian in this cultural moment, go to breakpoint.org.
Let's head outside next. Meteorologist Kevin Williams.
Here is your Family Life weather forecast for this afternoon. Hazy sunshine. An isolated thundershower, though, is not out of the realm of possibility. High temperatures, 70s for most. Cooler near the lakes. Partly cloudy tonight, low 50s. Tomorrow, becoming mostly cloudy, breezy, turning cooler. A couple of showers arriving from north to south. High temps, 60s and 70s. Those temperatures drop, though, into the 50s and 60s across the area, leading to the potential of a little light frost for some late tomorrow night. Thursday, mostly sunny, with high temperatures in the upper 50s to the middle 60s.
I will take it. Kev, thank you. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. I'm your host, Bob Price. Thanks for checking in today. Lots going on Tuesday, the 23rd of May. Christian activists have gathered in Albany to raise awareness about pro-life and pro-family causes all over New York State. It's called Legislative Day. It's the first time this rally has happened since the start of COVID nearly 3 years ago. Family Life's Greg Gillespie has an update from the state capitol.
Social issues are very big. Abortion, gender rights, the things that are happening in schools, and also the drug abuse epidemic.
Following today's rally at the Empire State Plaza Convention Center, participants will parade to the state capitol to speak directly with their elected representatives. Still no deal on debt ceiling talks. The White House and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy are still talking, though they remain at odds over spending. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich.
If there's a default, it's going to go down in history as the Biden default. It's going to end his presidential campaign for 2024.
That is former Speaker Newt Gingrich, the current one. Kevin McCarthy emerged from those talks last night optimistic that a deal can be done before the June 1st deadline. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis addressed the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Orlando.
We in Florida are waging a war on woke. We are fighting back against things like cancel culture.
DeSantis expected to announce he's running for president soon. The NRB is the world's largest gathering of Christian communicators. Tomorrow marks the one-year anniversary of the mass shooting at the Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. A year later, victims' families still trying to cope with that loss.
This is something that we live with, not even just every day, every second, you know? And just imagine everything you love getting ripped from you.
Another parent says the time that passed between then and now has not made the pain any less.
There's no moving on. I'm stuck on that day, and I will forever be stuck on that day.
On May 24th, 2022, a gunman took the lives of 19 children and two teachers inside a fourth grade classroom. Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murthy is out with another warning on the dangers of social media. He says it's leading to an epidemic of depression in today's teens.
We have a youth mental health crisis in our country, and I'm very concerned that social media has become a contributor to that crisis.
The warning about social media use comes as the rates of teenage depression skyrocket, especially among teenage girls. Police say the driver of a U-Haul truck who crashed into a security barrier near the White House last night did it on purpose and also made threatening remarks about the president and first family. The man had a flag with a Nazi swastika on it. The president was never in any danger. A college professor in New York City cursed out a group of pro-lifers who were trying to educate their classmates recently about the dangers of abortion.
This is violent. You're triggering my students. No, you're not.
The professor then proceeded to slam her fist on the pro-life table there at Hunter College, which is a CUNY school. Patrick Ruby is one of the students who got yelled at.
Our tabling was mainly about chemical abortions and the harms of chemical abortions for mothers and for the children involved. I don't know if she looked at our supplies before she came and started to berate us.
Hunter College says it is investigating the actions taken by that art teacher who berated those pro-life students. Looks like the fighting in Ukraine has spilled over into Russia. There are fresh military skirmishes breaking out in a border region called Belgorod. The Kremlin blames militants from Ukraine, but Kyiv denies any responsibility.
A group of armed men crossed from northeast Ukraine into Russia. The Kremlin calls them Ukrainian saboteurs. The intelligence intelligence department here in Kyiv says no, they were Russian paramilitaries, partisans who are opposed to Vladimir Putin. These men crossed the border and attempted to seize two or three villages.
The BBC's James Landell reporting from the Ukrainian capital. And a court ruling about a prince is making waves in Great Britain.
Prince Harry had argued that he and his family needed ramped up police protection because of threats he said they'd received in the UK. And he'd offered to reimburse police for those added expenses. A court had already rejected that offer, and now a judge in London has turned down Harry's attempt to appeal that decision. Lawyers for the British government had argued that acceding to Harry's wishes would essentially mean wealthy people could effectively buy their own police protection, and the judge apparently agreed that would set a bad precedent. Vicky Barker, London.
And you're listening to the Noon Report on Family Life.
Welcome back to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm Mark Webster, and this week's guest is Jim Willard of Project Impact, bringing hope and the gospel through volunteer housing projects in Chenango County, New York, and beyond. Tell me about how this all got started.
It was an accident. This is almost 20 years ago. After church in the lobby, there was a lady that was asking for help. She had a lot of snow on her roof. The water from the snow was coming through the roof and into the kitchen and other parts of the house. She wanted help for some people to go shovel off the roof and couldn't get any help. And I just walked in there and heard the story. And I said, okay, I'll do it. I got a couple of guys. We clean off the roof and go to the back of the house. We look at it. We're not going up there. You could see that the back part of the house and the porch was all rotted. I didn't know the lady at all. I had no connections to her. I told the guys, go home and I'll go talk to her. And I told her that her roof was really bad in the kitchen. There was black mold. There was water coming in all over in her kitchen. And I told her we couldn't do the roof. And she broke down in front of me. And it took me about 15, 20 minutes to get her calmed down. I said, look, I'm not a contractor or anything. I can't promise you anything, but let me see what I can do. We came back about 4 months later with 103 people. We ripped off the back porch on our house, built her a brand new one, painted it, carpet and electricity and all that stuff, and fixed the roof, poured brand new sidewalks for her in the front of her house in the back. We had about 40 people that re-landscaped their property, and we did this all in a day and a half. We got to the end of the project, and the Impact Project hadn't been formed yet. This was just something that I pulled together with God's grace and help. So we're all done with this, and we're on the front lawn, and we're having sandwich and sodas and chips, and we're all exhausted. And a gentleman comes walking across the street. Then he says, I'm looking for Jim Willard. I said, you've got him. And I'm bracing for we did something wrong. He said, I want you to know I've been watching you guys for the whole day. And you and all your people, you've restored my faith in community, in God, and everybody on this street wants to let you know, thank you for doing this. And everybody in my group, you could hear a pin drop. And I knew at that point in time, other than the obvious, that we were helping this lady, we were doing something special. We had affected the community. So a bunch of us at the end of the project, we were cleaning up. We made a pact, kind of like in a football huddle. We put our arms out. We said, wouldn't it be cool if once a year we did this to help people in our community? So here I am talking to you today, 19 years later. We've been in 7 different counties. We've had almost 4,200 volunteers help our organization. And we've done 166 projects, and we've handed out 178 Bibles, all out of one single act of kindness. I say this a lot to people. God did 99.9% of the work, and I did 1/10. I agreed to go along and do this. At that time, I was a vice president in the investment world. I didn't have any background in construction, and I lost my job back about 15 years ago, and now this is my full-time job. I'm the director of this organization. We have 2 offices. If you would have asked me 20 years ago if I had ever been in charge of a Christian ministry that fixed people's homes and handed out Bibles to people and restored their faith and hope in Christ, I would have said no way, absolutely no way. Yet here I am today, almost 20 years with this ministry, and I don't regret 1 second of it. It has been an awesome, awesome ride.
It's clear from what you're saying that the Impact Project has had quite an impact on you and your volunteers, too.
There's a lot of stories. Stories of homeowners. There's stories of volunteers. There's been a lot of tears that have been shed throughout the last 19 years. With God's blessing, this is what I'm going to do. I'm all in for the rest of my life. And the team that is part of our organization, our board, our employees, we're all in. There's a big challenge in the Southern Tier. There's a real housing crisis going on. When we get done with the project, all the volunteers that are in our project. We get together, we have a ceremony, and I hand them a Bible that's engraved with their name on the front, and everybody sign the Bible and put messages in that Bible. And I tell them the same thing, every one of these families all these years, we love you, God loves you, and we have your back. There's a lot of tears that come in a lot of these ceremonies. They're very emotional. You're giving people back the basic ingredients of living in a safe home, and you're telling them that they're valuable and loved, and God loves them.
You know, a lot of tears, but I'm sure some tears of joy too, because that's the greatest impact, how you've been able to weave the gospel message into the work you do.
It is. It is. We know that every day, our staff knows this, our board knows this, we're working for God. We're going out and we're using our hands and feet for Christ, and we're touching people where they are. And it's an honor to work for God and be chosen to do this ministry every single day.
That's Jim Willard of Project Impact, bringing hope and the gospel through volunteer housing projects in Chenango County, New York, and beyond. Please join us again next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life.
All right, great job as always. Thank you, Mark. Hometown Heroes comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report or online anytime, familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Certainly warming nicely today compared to the last couple days, even though the skies are a little hazy at times with sunshine prevailing, and it looks like the nice weather will carry us into tonight. The arrival of a cold front from the north tomorrow, though, spells a couple of showers, much cooler air, maybe a little light frost for some late tomorrow night. Prospects are good, though, for some nice weather heading toward the Memorial Day weekend. For this afternoon, hazy sunshine. An isolated thundershower, though, is not out of the realm of possibility across the higher elevations of the Southern Finger Lakes, the Southern Tier, and South Central New York. High temperatures, 70s for most, cooler near the lakes. Partly cloudy tonight, low 50s. But tomorrow becoming mostly cloudy, breezy, turning cooler, a couple of showers arriving from north to south. High temps, 60s and 70s. Those temperatures drop, though, into the 50s and 60s across the area, leading to the potential of a little light frost for some late tomorrow night. Thursday, mostly sunny, but cool for the season, with high temperatures in the upper 50s to the middle 60s.
All right, Kevin, thank you kindly. Finally at noon, good deeds sure do make it a beautiful day in the neighborhood, and today is just the day to celebrate.
As a way to honor the legacy and kindness of Mr. Fred Rogers, May 23rd has been proclaimed as 143 Day in Pennsylvania. Why May 23rd? It's the 143rd day of the year, and Mr. Rogers often used 143 as a way to say, I love you, because there's one letter in I, four in love, and three in you. After so much struggle and heartache over the past few years, there couldn't be a more necessary time to spread love, do good deeds, and help your neighbors. So how can you participate? Do something nice for a friend or neighbor, help clean up your neighborhood, or make another positive contribution. We all have the power to make a difference in our communities, just one act at a time. Brian Querry, Family Life News.
All right, great stuff. Thank you, Brian. And that's all the time we have today, Tuesday, the 23rd of May. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.